Lord. Let's go to 1 John, the first chapter. That which was from the beginning. Brother Surface points out, he pointed out in the Christ commentary, and points it out often, the words "that which," actually in the Greek words, is just a pronoun. Can be "that which," could be "he who," could be "she." It's just a generic pronoun. And for understanding of what's being said, it would probably be better for our understanding if you read this "he who" was from the beginning. Because this passage is about Jesus Christ. It's about Christ from eternity past. As he would start the Epistle of John, it would be, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made." And so he's speaking the same thing. In effect, he's starting this epistle the same as he started the Gospel of John. And we're going to read it that way, "He who was from the beginning." So you'll understand it's not just a "that." It's not something that he's speaking of, but he's speaking of Christ, who is the beginning. He is the beginning. The Scripture says, "In him all things were made." And so it's important that we know who the subject is, who is being spoken of, that it was Christ who was made flesh and walked among us. And we knew him as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus Christ. And yet he didn't begin in that manger. In the beginning he was with God. And was God. And all things were made by him. But he was made flesh. So it's he who was from the beginning, which we have heard. And John speaks as an eyewitness apostle, one that walked with Jesus in the flesh for over 3 years and then walked with him to this date, I believe close to another 60 years after the day of Pentecost, after the Lord had ascended under the heavens. And so John is an eyewitness both of the ministry of Christ and knew him in the flesh and then saw Christ minister through the church and the reality of Christ as the Lord worked with them, confirmed the Word with signs following. And so he's not one that is supposing. And that's what's important. He's not one that is just, received something by tradition. So oftentimes what we hold up as truth, we don't even know where we received it. We don't even know where it came from. It's just, "I've always believed this. I was always told this." But it came from somewhere. And sometimes we're surprised to find out where it's from. Entered somewhere, and we just picked it up. And that's how it sometimes is with even beliefs and doctrines. We just knew it. We don't know why we knew it. But our dads or our preachers told us, their preachers told them, and so we know they were sincere and real, we know it's true, but it wasn't that way with John. John said, "We heard him." We not only heard him, we saw with our eyes, both in his ministry and both with the great outpouring of the Spirit, and as they saw the world turned upside down for Christ. He says, "We have seen with our eyes." We're not passing on a tale that someone else saw, that someone else told us. We've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. And in this statement, he's speaking of physical person of Jesus Christ upon earth. He said, we didn't just have a dream, didn't see an apparition. It wasn't just, it wasn't an out-of-body experience. We didn't dream that we went to heaven. We handled, we touched,
we handled the Word of Life. John, in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, he gives this testimony. He'll say this, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we can look that and just read over the impact of that. But He's saying we saw someone such as never been seen before. We've met religious men, we've met priests, we've met rabbis, we've met teachers, we've met all sorts of things, but we walked with one, we touched one, handled one that was the only begotten of the Father, unlike anyone that had ever walked before. And He was full of grace and truth. And so this was John's witness of the one that he handled. The Scripture says at the Last Supper, what, he laid his head upon Jesus' breast, and the Lord loved His disciples. And so He's given His credentials, you might say, as an eyewitness apostle of that which He's seen and that which He's heard and that which He's handled. He said, for life was manifested. Can you see that? That for when He began to walk with Jesus and they began to realize who it was and even what it was that they were walking with Him. You say, well, He's not a what? Yes, but He wasn't just a natural man. He wasn't just a teacher, someone that had been trained well and been taught. He was the Lord from heaven. As they begin to understand that and perceive how different He was than any that ever come in contact with before, it finally hit them that this is life. He said life was manifested. This is what life is. We thought life was a heart beating. We thought life was breathing through our nostrils. We thought this was life. And they begin to understand they had never seen life. They had never known life. And He said life was manifested. And they understood for the first time that they had been dead in trespasses and sins, but they saw one that was life. And He said, we have seen it. We're not making it up. It's not just a tale that we're telling. We've seen it. We bear witness. And we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And I want to tell you where this begins to pass on, not only to John, but pass on through the ages to those that know the reality of Christ. And I have to say to those that know the reality of Christ, because every person in this place understands, I believe, that everything that is called Christian is not Christ. And I'm not here to attack this morning, but just to remind you of what you already know. But here was something that began to be passed on because the life, John would say, he was full of grace and truth. He would say, of His fullness have all we received. And grace for grace. That which Christ was full of, John would first say, we have received that. And that's why he not only could declare eternal life, but he could show it to you. John said, we show unto you eternal life. And I want to tell you, you can see eternal life. You can see it. You'll see it in a person's heart. You'll see it in their life. You'll see it in their walk. But I want to tell you, you can feel it. Eternal life is more than just a good person. You have to know that. Goodness is not godliness. But godly people are good people. But there is a difference. Goodness is not godliness. And don't mistake it for being so. But you can see eternal life. You can witness eternal life. And you can feel it. You can feel Christ in people. And especially someone that knows Christ, that knows the reality of Christ. You can feel Christ in people. It's not just to take my word for it. It's a reality that's manifest in everything that a person is. It's manifest in their every breath, in their word, in their deed, in their actions, that people begin to see there's something I've never seen before. And it's eternal life. He says, life was manifested. We have seen it. We have bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this entire epistle and truly all of John's ministry was that those that he spoke to could have fellowship with him. I want you to say, well, that's kind of haughty. Not at all. Not at all. Because he understood that the fellowship he had with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, was meant for all. I want to tell you, even in this service this morning, as the presence of God was settling upon people in this place, and there have been some of you that would question, you know, what is that about? What is going on there? And what is with that? And they don't quite comprehend that for many in this place, it was much more than going through the forms of worship. But they were just entering in to the presence of God, into the fellowship that they have with the Lord. And a fellowship. You say, what do you mean a fellowship? A communion between them and the Lord. A communion. Them, they meet with Him. He strengthens them. They worship Him. He renews them in His Spirit and in His presence. He feeds them and watches over them. It's a fellowship. It's a communion. It's a mutual. The Scripture will actually describe it as a partnership. You know, the two come together. And John had that fellowship with the Lord. And it's a precious thing. And it doesn't come through a Bible study. It doesn't come through a Sunday morning service. It doesn't come through the religious things that we do. But it comes when you come to the Lord and He comes to you. And it's a fellowship with the Lord that you don't leave when you leave this service. You have that fellowship when you're driving down 1314. Coming or going, you have that fellowship with the Lord. He's yours, you're His, and when you call, He hears and He answers. And this was the fellowship that John had with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm writing these things unto you that you can have fellowship with us. And when he's saying us, he's talking about, because our fellowship is not just me. It's the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And John's bold about who his fellowship is with. And he's writing to whosoever will believe his words and saying, I'm writing these things so you can have the same fellowship. And he says, these things, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you that your joy may be full. If you'll believe what I'm telling you, you'll have this fellowship. Joy that will overtake you will be unspeakable and full of glory. Anyone can bear witness to that. That he said, if you believe what I'm telling, you'll receive it. You'll have this same fellowship. And your joy will be full. Doesn't mean you won't be attacked. Doesn't mean that things won't go wrong in life. But in this fellowship, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it's unspeakable. You can't describe it. You can't explain it. You could sit there and try to tell someone what it is or even what it's like, and you just can't get through. But thank God it's real. This then is the message. You want to know what the message was that He wanted you to hear? So that you could have the same fellowship that He had? You want to know what that message is? This is the message. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And do you know that sums up His entire epistle? God is light, and in Him is no darkness. How much? You know, I looked at that word. I knew what it was. I looked up right before service, and it's not even one. That's what the Greek word is, not even one. There's no darkness, not even one. And that's why He follows it up with the next statement. If we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie. Why? Because there's no darkness, not even one, in Him. I may have shared this last week. I received an email a week ago in the books. Brother Surface told me yesterday, I believe it was, that for January and February, on Behold the Lamb, and this is just new subscriptions, not what we the 9,000 that we sent out early, but new subscriptions for the month of January and February were 2,548. I mean, that just overwhelming. A great mix of these anyway are from nations all over the earth. And Sister Ariana's Sister Kathy's still doing the emails, and they just see it all the time. Just nations you didn't know existed. Places and people just writing in, asking for Behold the Lamb. But I received an email from a lady who was reading the books. And she said this. She says, am I to understand by the books that I've received and the testimony that you are preaching sinless perfection? Because we preach that Christ came to make us free from sin. And can't back away with that, won't back away from that, and don't want to back away from that. Because Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And if He didn't mean make you free, why would He say that? And she said, am I to understand that you're teaching sinless perfection? And my answer was, says, well, I can't answer you because I don't know what you mean by sinless perfection. Because I know there are doctrines out there that people have of all different sorts. And all I know to give is what the Word of God says. But I said, I will say this, that we do teach that the purpose that Jesus Christ shed His blood was to wash sin from the heart and nature and life of everyone who trusts in Him, and those who believe and trust in Him are made free. That's what the Word of God says. Well, she responded this way, and normally I don't give much on other people's correspondence, but she responded with one verse of Scripture, the 10th verse. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not with us. Well, I got the message. I got the message real quick, and so this is my response. And again, I don't particularly care to give correspondence back and forth, but I do feel it needful this morning. And my response was this. I said, you can write us off as liars and deceivers because of the way you use that verse of Scripture, if you want to. But I said, be careful that you do not write off the Apostle John, who penned that verse and who wrote the rest of the epistle. Because the same apostle in the same letter will write, he was manifest to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. How many knew John wrote that? Did you know that John wrote this then? He that abides in him sins not. Did you know that John wrote that? John continues, he that sins has not seen him, neither known him. Did you know that John wrote that? Did you know that John wrote, be not deceived, he that sins is of the devil. John wrote that. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, and he's born of God. And then he'll close that epistle saying, we know that whosoever is born of God sins not. So I just wrote these passages of Scripture, and I said, you can write us off if you want to, as liars and deceivers, but be careful that you're not writing off the apostles who wrote these passages of Scriptures, and all that they had to say may not be a great thing if you write us off. And she responded back, and very tersely, I would say, and she said, I know the Scriptures that you quoted, but I know the heart of man. And my final response to the lady was, first, we've got to end this. God didn't send me to argue the gospel. He sent me to bring it to whosoever will. But my final response was this. I says, your own words testify that you hold what you think you know about the heart of man above the Word of God. Above the testimony of the Word of God, of what the Lord said, of what the apostles said. So many of us are guilty of the same thing. Somehow we have a divine understanding, and the Lord does give divine understanding, but it doesn't contradict, it doesn't go against what His Word says. It is in line, it's with, it's the same, it's union, it's one with what His Word is declaring. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Amen. I've got, since I brought them up, I've got to touch on what I call the only two Scriptures that most of the church thinks exist in 1 John. Much of the church, 1 John only has two verses of Scripture in it. Seventh verse says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that if you walk in the light, the reason there's no darkness at all is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And you say, well, see, that proves His blood doesn't cleanse from all sins. Well, which is it? Does it or doesn't it? And you say, well, then what is that Scripture? Do you know Jesus dealt with those who had no sin? Who believed they had no sin? Jesus spoke to the Jews and said, if I had not spoken unto them words that no one ever did, they had not had sin. See, we live in a day, and our concept is because we hear it every Sunday morning, we hear it everywhere we go, in our thinking, it's in our psyche, if you want to call it that, that everybody's a sinner, everybody sins every day. It was totally opposite to the Jews. The Jews had the law. The Scripture speaks of many that kept it perfectly, and they did not believe they had sinned. And Jesus said, if I hadn't come unto them, they had not had sinned. If I hadn't spoken unto them, they had words that no one ever spake to them. They had not had sin. Do you know what those words were? Probably learned it when you were 5 years old. Those words on this manner. It is written, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that he that looks upon a woman to lust after her in his heart has committed adultery already in his heart. Did Jesus say that? These were the words that no one had spoken unto them. They could live and say, I have not committed adultery. I have not stolen. I have not lied. I have kept the Sabbath. I do not have sin. But He spoke words to them. He spoke. He gave them understanding that they didn't want. Some people don't want understanding. His understanding was what is in your heart is what you are. And what works inside of you is what you are and how you stand before God. Your actions on the outside are only a result of what's on the inside. And you can say, you've not done this, but it's eaten you up inside. And you say, but I have no sin. And until the heart is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that will always, always be a lie. Always. But the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And you can dwell where there is light. And no darkness at all. I want you to see that. And that's His message. You can have the same fellowship that John had. Do you believe that? Someone says, well, we all have the same fellowship John has. You know, we've all confessed Jesus. We've all received Him. Our doctrines tell us this. And darkness fills the heart and fills the life. And John, it sounds so harsh, translated into the English language. But John is telling you, you're deceiving yourself and you know it. You're lying to yourself and you know it. You say, I have fellowship with the Lord. I go to church. I made the confession. I've done it. John says, you can have the fellowship that we have with Him. You can have the fellowship where you come to Him and He comes to you. And as Jesus prayed that they would be one, Father, as I and you and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, in us, you can have that fellowship. But it will never be as long as you deceive yourself. As long as you're lying to yourself. John says this, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. I was reading, I don't know if it was Friday evening, yesterday morning, and I read the words of Jesus. And Jesus said this, said, we speak the things that we have seen and heard. And He was speaking about Himself. Speaking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus couldn't grasp what Jesus was saying. Couldn't comprehend it, couldn't believe it. And He says, we speak the things that we've seen and heard. I can stand here this morning and tell you that I speak to you the things that I've seen and heard. I'm not an eyewitness. Brother Surface is not an eyewitness like John. But there's some of you in this place that can speak to others and say, I speak to you the things
that I've seen and heard.
We have seen in this church for a number of months, the Spirit of God move service after service. Who was here 2 weeks ago with Brother and Sister Turnage? Were you here in this service? The glory of God just settled in this place. Brother Turnage, the president of the School of Christ International, has worked that I don't know how far. Years ago, it was over 150 nations. Renowned pastor sat here in this service as the presence of God settled in, scheduled to preach. And as the presence of God settled in this place, so broken, so affected, asked me to forgive him, but could he not preach? And his words to this congregation was, "You don't know how dry you are until you come into the presence of God like this." And this man, his wife, churches and places all across this nation are held in great stature, stood before this little congregation and asked unknown men and women, most some would call almost children, to come lay your hands upon us and pray for us. We need what we felt this morning. We need what was in the place. He told me, "Brother Keith, we can't find this anywhere." And until just recently, before he set full time, he was pastor of large church and one of the largest Pentecostal denominations in the world. But walking into the presence of God, and these folks know the presence of God. They said, "We can't find this anywhere." But I want to tell you, and we're sent to tell the world, if you will believe what we say. I heard Brother Surface in Sunday school this morning. If we will stand up and unashamedly declare the gospel, we can stand at the gates of hell and they can't do anything about it. They shall not prevail. But I'm not speaking to the gates of hell necessarily this morning. I'm standing as John stood and said, "I'm not an eyewitness apostle, but I have seen the Lord. I have seen Him in the gospel of Christ. I know what His blood was shed for. I know why He died on that cross. I know His blood cleanses from all unrighteousness. I know His cross destroys the body of sin and makes us free. I know He destroyed the devil in His death. I see it as clear as day in the Word of God. I see it in manifestation. I see it in those that believe the truth. And that which I have seen, I declare unto you." You who are onlookers, who stand afar off, or you even that deceive yourselves. Let's say I have fellowship, and yet you know the darkness. And you hear John say, "He that says, I have fellowship and walks in darkness, lies and does not the truth." And he's saying, "You're lying to yourself." But Lauren, you can speak to others and say, if you will believe what I tell you, you can have fellowship with us. And they say, "Well, who is it? Is it fellowship with you and the people on the pews around you?" And Lord, you can say, "No, because truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And we can offer that to the world. We can offer that to anyone who sits in darkness. We can tell them, if you will believe the gospel that we preach to you, you can be made free. Your sins can be washed away. You can be free from the thing that troubles your heart that maybe only you know. you can be free. And you can have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Amen? I would believe that this morning. You can have fellowship. The Word of God tells us the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You can have fellowship with God. And I want to tell you, this is when I say in a place, but it's the only place God has fellowship. It's in Christ. But you can have fellowship in a place with God where there's no darkness, not even one. But where there's righteousness. Do you believe that this morning? Righteousness. Oh, but there's always going to be the devil. Well, there's no devil there. I've shared before, a young man was asking me, probably 30 years ago, messed up in religion, tormented at night. What do you do when a demon chases you down the road in the middle of the night? I said, I can't remember the last time a demon chased me down the road in the middle of the night. I said, the Word of God tells me that Jesus Christ destroyed him. I believe that. The Word of God says He spoiled him, stripped him, made a public show of him, humiliated him, crushed him. The same Word also tells me that Christ is my habitation, my dwelling place. I said, I don't think the devil wants anything to do with Christ. I'm going to tell you, you can have fellowship in a place where there is no torment, where there's righteousness and peace. Do you believe that this morning? You can't have peace in this world. This world has gone crazy, they say. Anyone that has peace in a crazy world like this is crazy themselves. I've been crazy for 35 years. How about you? A walk with God is not based upon the condition of the world. It's based upon where you live. Do you live in Christ? Righteousness and peace. And joy. In the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. The joy in the Holy Ghost. You say, but I don't have that. What are these things I say to you? That you may fellowship with us. With the Father and with the Son. You say, but I won't believe that. Then you can't have fellowship with the Father and with the Son.
But if you will change your mind, you will change your mind. God will change everything else.